Good morning, and welcome to you as we gather here in the Lord's house for a time of worship and fellowship this morning. Please take a moment to sign the friendship register at the center aisle of each row and pass it along to your neighbor seated next to you as well. As you're likely aware by now, our children's services and nursery are open again, and we do ask that if you have children in the nursery or coming to Children's Church, please leave your phones on vibrate so that we can contact you if your child needs your attention during their time with us. And speaking of caring for our children, we need several of you to consider teaching a Sunday school class. Please don't be afraid of the word teach. You don't need to be a skilled teacher. We only have three criteria. Number one, we ask that you have a genuine love for God and Jesus Christ. Number two, we ask that you have a genuine love for Berry Christian Church. And three, we ask that you have a compassion for our youngest among us and a commitment to their future. We have all the curriculum. It's very, very easy to follow. And I promise you that you will grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ just as much as the children that you'll be working with. If you do feel such a calling, please see Kathy Connell or myself anytime this morning, or contact either of us or the church office. And now may we begin our worship service with our call to worship. Andrew, good morning.
Good morning. Please rise for the call to worship. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his temple. Praise his strength in heaven. Praise him with cymbals. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise the Lord. Let us sing our opening hymn. We've a story to tell to the nations. Number 484. We'll sing all stanzas.
A story to tell to the nations that shall turn their hearts to the right. A story of truth and mercy, a story of peace and light, a story of peace and light. From the darkness shall turn to dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright, and Christ's great kingdom shall come on earth, the kingdom of love and light. We've a song to be sung to the nations that shall lift their hearts to the Lord, a song that shall conquer evil and shatter the spear and sword, and shatter the spear and sword. For the darkness shall turn to dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright, and Christ's great kingdom shall come on earth, the kingdom of love and light. We've a message to give to the nations, that the Lord who reigneth above hath sent us the Son to save us and show us that God is love, and show us that God is love. For the darkness shall turn to dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright, and Christ's great kingdom shall come on earth, the kingdom of love and light. We've a Savior to show to the nations who the path of sorrow has trod, that all of the world's great peoples might come to the truth of God. Might come to the truth of God. For the darkness shall turn to dawning, and the dawning to noonday bright. And Christ's great kingdom shall come on earth, the kingdom of love and light.
May we bow for a word of prayer. Gracious God, we see and feel all the sensations of this season of spring and the beginning of summer. We are grateful that during this season of growth and emergence of new life, that we can welcome back the children in our midst. We are also grateful that we can resume our traditions of gathering around your table and experiencing fellowship on a more personal level than we could during much of the past year. We thank you, Lord, for the ability to shake hands and to hug our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we pray that the COVID virus remain a thing of the past, while we also ask for your mercy on those who lost loved ones or continue to struggle with the effects. Loving God, we look forward to feeling the presence of Jesus Christ as we begin our worship service this morning. May we feel his presence, the presence of the Holy Spirit, our provider of comfort and guidance, and our reminder of Jesus' living presence among us. It is in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that we pray. Amen. Please take a few moments to greet and welcome those around you. Please be seated. We'd like to invite our children to come forward for the children's sermon as we sing verse 1 of Tell Me the Stories of Jesus.
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea, stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
Good morning. Can you say good morning to everybody?
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
I love it. I love it. Look what I have here. What are all these things?
Bells.
Yeah. You guys haven't been in my class, although Brooks is big enough to, I think, be in my Sunday school class. My Sunday school class knows what this bell is for. Because this is when they get too noisy, I go, pay attention to me. That's my bell. It says smile. I don't think they smile when I do that. Anyway, bells. There are lots of different kinds of bells, aren't there? There's sleigh bells and jingle bells and school bells and church bells. We have a church bell. Unfortunately, we can't ring it right now. So, I looked it up. And do you know how big the biggest working bell is? Now, it's not one that swings like this. It's so big, it's one they have to use a big log and push into. It's 27 feet tall. That means if we put it over here, it's going to go all the way up to just about the ceiling up there. And it's 17 feet wide. So if I put it over here, everybody's got to move to the other side because they can't fit over there. Because the bell's going to take up the whole space. And it weighs 255,000 pounds. That's as much as 9 big elephants. Elephants, yeah. One of my favorite bells is church bells. When I was a kid, always you knew when church was starting because every little church in the little town that I came from rang bells. You could hear them all over town. And it was such a pretty sound in the morning on Sundays. Where I came from, church started at 10:30. So 10:30 every Sunday morning, all 4 of the churches in my little bitty town started ringing church bells, and it was awesome. Except for the one church, because we lived right next door to it, and it was very loud. They were our neighbor. Just like your neighbor's house, if that was a church, it'd be ringing this big old bell. Anyway, today, in children's church, Mr. Jim's going to tell us about some bells. Bells and worship, and what it says about bells in the Bible. Are we ready to go to children's church? Listen to bells? Talk about bells? How about if I tell you that we're going to use these in children's church? One for each of you. Go ahead. Would that make you want to go to children's church?
Yes.
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit of an incentive. That's a bribe. That's called bribing. It's like my philosophy of whatever works. Okay, can we make our bells silent while we have a little prayer? Dearest Heavenly Father, thank you for this day and these beautiful children. Help us to remember to always worship you in our daily lives. Help us ring in our hearts your truth and your love, and remember your grace and your mercy. Help us to listen well this morning as we learn more about bells. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. You know where children's church is. Let's move it.
Thank you, Kathy. As we're privileged to go to God in prayer, a number of people to remember this new week. First of all, many thanks for your prayers for my youngest nephew, Kevin Jones, his 7-month-old baby girl that had a surgical procedure in Texas this past week. Everything went well. We're praising God for that. Going to be a lengthy time of recovery over the next year and a half, but things are certainly heading in the right direction. And my nephew's wife is actually a neonatal pediatric nurse, so she was able to really kind of comprehend exactly what was going on for their baby girl and get things moving in a good direction. So we praise God for that. Brad and Lauren, it's good to see both of you. Praise God. Brad, hope you're feeling better as time is going on. Also, we want to lift up Don Thomas. He was at North Kansas City Hospital this past week for a few days dealing with pneumonia. He is home and striving to kind of get out and about and making some progress beyond that. We continue to lift up Ardith Haynes, and we remember also Jim Frenthrop in prayer. Jim's father And he is also out of North Kansas City Hospital, where he was there just for a very brief time this past week. But back at their retirement center, he and Phyllis, so they're making good progress. We lift up Betty Donahue in prayer. She got a good report from the doctor this past week. That's certainly good news for her. We also are remembering Jerry Treese in the midst of his treatments. We're remembering Carol Cook's daughter, Christy. We're remembering Kathy Gorman's granddaughter, Savannah, Barbara Mayberry's daughter, Shannon Hoyt, and Anna Hex, the cousin of Edna Williams, certainly continues to be in our prayers, as well as a number of other people. And Barbara Mayberry is back in the nursery today, so we're glad she's doing so much better now as well. So with all of these people upon our hearts, may we bow our heads in prayer this morning. Merciful God, as the warmer months of the summer season are upon us, we give thanks for the abundance of blessing that gardens can bring forth in the days to come. We give thanks for the sense of hopeful new life that the canvas of green sprinkled with the brilliant colors of flowering plants showers before our eyes. As summer is upon us, we thank you for the warmth of the sun and the increased daylight. We thank you for lengthy evenings and times to enjoy the presence of loved ones and friends in calming, soothing conversation. May the brilliance of your creation surround us and surpass our expectations as we find ourselves in awe and wonder of the majesty of your creation that surrounds us with every living plant and creature. Warm our souls, O God, with the awareness of your presence and the light unto our paths, and create in us a longing for pure hearts and a hungering for your righteousness and peace as the months of June, July, and August are upon us. Guide us, O God, as we offer this prayer on behalf of the people of God, as we remember the prayer our Lord Jesus teaches us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
A place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. Oh, Jesus, blessed Redeemer. Grief
We may often think of a hymn writer as one sitting quietly in their placid study, putting prose and poetry to music and as the Spirit may lead. But James Montgomery, who lived from 1771 to 1854, was one who in his day risked his very life as he often challenged the accepted norms of his day that caused pain and suffering for the poor and marginalized. As the chief editor of a prominent newspaper in Sheffield, Scotland, for more than three decades, his bold editorials against slavery and other social injustices got him into trouble on many occasions, twice leading to imprisonment and once compelling him to flee for a time to Germany. And all the while, he was also an avid poet who was inspired through his maturing faith in God. Our communion hymn, According to Thy Gracious Word, is one of the more than 400 hymns that he wrote during his lifetime. In this hymn, he prompts the listener to be in meek humility and to remember our Lord Jesus Christ, his body broken for our sakes. Surely it was what James Montgomery saw in Jesus that prompted him to be a lifelong advocate for those suffering injustice at the hand of others. We prepare our hearts to receive God's grace at the Lord's table as we turn to our communion hymn, According to Thy Gracious Word, number 402. We'll sing all stanzas, please.
Gracious word in meek humility. This will I do, my dying Lord, I will remember thee. Thy body broken for my sake, my bread from heaven shall be. Thy testament, O cup I take, and thus remember thee. When to the cross I turn my eyes and rest on Calvary, O Lamb of God, my sacrifice, I must remember thee. I shall remember all thy pain and all thy love to me. When thou shalt come again and reign, Jesus, remember me.
As we gather at the Lord's table, we remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you."
that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, "This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me." And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. May we bow our heads as Dave leads us in a word of prayer.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the beautiful day and for the opportunity to worship you in our house. Here at this table, we remember that your Son gave his life so that we might have eternal life with you in heaven. We pray that you will bless the bread and cup. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning.
Thank you.
The Old Testament book of Proverbs is a collection of moral and religious teachings regarding practical and everyday concerns. And regarding generosity, Proverbs tells us that our generosity towards others in need can often lead to the opportunity to be given to be even more generous in the future. As Proverbs 11 tells us, one gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. Whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered. And in Proverbs 19, verse 17, the text tells us, whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed. With these thoughts in mind from Proverbs, we receive our offering this morning as Ron leads us in a word of prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, as we gather around your table once again this morning, we give thanks for the many blessings of the past week, and we look forward to the opportunities of a new week. We ask your blessings on these gifts, tithes, and offerings, that they may bless the future of this church here at Berry. In Jesus' name we give thanks. Amen.
Thank you. God, we pray this offering is used for your glory now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. I share with you the scripture reading from the book of Exodus, the 28th chapter, beginning with verse 31. The robe that goes over the ephod is to be made entirely of blue wool. It is to have a hole in the head, and this hole is to be reinforced with woven binding to keep it from tearing. All around its lower hem, put pomegranates of blue, purple, and red wool, alternating with gold bells. Aaron is to wear this robe when he serves as priest, when he comes into my presence in the holy place, or when he leaves it. The sound of the bells will be heard, and he will not be killed. Boy, that's ominous, isn't it? May we bow our heads for a word of prayer. Lord God, we're grateful for the privilege to once again be in your house and to indeed proclaim that you're indeed Lord of lords and King of kings. It's in Christ's name we give thanks for the privilege to assemble and worship you. Amen. On the 19th of January in 1896, the congregation of St. Francis de Sales Church in Cincinnati, Ohio, gathered with pride for the consecration of a new bell. The bell was named the Joseph Bell, as it was named after the parishioner Joseph T. Budke, who contributed the largest portion of the $15,000 cost of the bell. Remember, this is 1896. That was a chunk of change back then. But the bell was quickly given the nickname Big Joe, and with good reason. It measured 7 feet high, with a rim diameter of 9 feet, and weighed 35,000 pounds, or 17 and a half tons. That's essentially the weight of a full-size tractor trailer rig with its trailer empty. Just to give you a sense of proportion here. Big Joe was a symbol of pride for the entire city as it was cast at the E.W. Van Dusen Company in Cincinnati. And at the time that Big Joe was cast, it was the largest free-swinging bell in the entire world. And to this day, it is still the largest free-swinging bell here in the United States. When completed, it took a team of 14 horses to haul the bell up Gilbert Street to the church. In the spirit of American ingenuity, Big Joe was intended to be equal in size and a replication of Big Ben in London, England. And to be one up on the British, Big Joe was designed to swing, while Big Ben never has. And with such enormity, it was believed that the bell could be heard 15 miles away. So with the congregation's great ego intact, and with enormous fanfare, on the Sunday morning of the 19th of January in 1896, six men took hold and pulled on the massive rope to give Big Joe a swing. And as the 640-pound clapper struck the rim, a loud E-flat wasn't Big Joe's only toll. The earth trembled. The windows around the church shattered, and pieces of mortar crumbled from the brick and stone walls, not only of the tower, but of adjacent buildings to the church. So talk about wanting to do something for the glory of God, and yet man's ego really gets in the way, right? After just one ringing, it was decided that Big Joe must never swing again. I wonder what the insurance deals were on that. I don't know. But anyway, never swing again. So the church immobilized the bell, and a small electrically operated hammer taps the bell's rim, producing a much more modest tone. Yet, for the last 125 years, every day, Big Joe has faithfully struck the hours of 6 a.m., 12 noon, and 6 p.m. to mark the time for devotional prayers. And the bell also marks the number of years of the deceased at funerals, certainly is played at weddings, and with the addition of adjacent smaller bells, assist with the Westminster chime. 13 years prior to the casting of Big Joe, a bell of much more modest size was also cast in Cincinnati, this time at the Van Heusen and Tift Buckeye Foundry in the year 1883. Interesting enough, the entire bell had the same weight as Big Joe's clapper, 640 pounds. Likely shipped by rail, the story goes that four men from Berry Christian Church took a team of horses down to the Union Depot in the West Bottoms of Kansas City to pick up the bell. Because of the bell's weight, however, they had to buy a second team to aid in the return trip to Berry Village. Now imagine doing that back then. We're talking about wagons and horses and old rickety wooden bridges to get across the river, aren't we not? For sure. The Berry Bell was placed in the belfry of the white frame church building that had been constructed in 1860, just before the outbreak of the Civil War, to replace the church's log cabin sanctuary. The bell was rung Sunday mornings and can be heard for miles around, people said. As was also the custom of the day, it was rung at funeral services and weddings. The Berry Bell was later located in a tower adjacent to the sanctuary of our congregation's third building, which was dedicated in 1950. Our present sanctuary dedicated in about 1987, but it was not until 92 that the bell's current brick exterior structure was built to hold the bell. A possible lightning strike and 29 years of aging and shifting soils have deteriorated the bell's current structure, making it unsafe to ring it regularly. While we hope to have our bell's structure rebuilt, today the surge in new home construction throughout Kansas City has made it rather difficult to even secure competent bricklayers and foundation workers because the project is considered what? Too small. Have you ever tried to get some sheetrock work done in the last two or three or four years? You won't find somebody who's a regular sheetrock worker to come to your house or do a whole number of other repairs. Why? Because they're building new stuff. As we often look at the Bible for guidance for that which we do for the glory of God, we realize that bells are only spoken about on two occasions in Scripture. After I get my page turned, I'll tell you what they are. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 20, describes how small bells were put on the bridles and on a belt around the neck of war horses to acclimate the horses to noise in battle. But the most prominent use of bells is described in our text for this morning from Exodus chapter 28. To us, the story seems strange and ominous, but in ancient days when God was truly feared and revered, the bell served a very definitive purpose. The Holy of Holies was the most sacred portion of the tabernacle and later in the temple in Jerusalem. Upon pain of death, it could only be entered into one time a year and only by the high priest, who at the time of Moses, of course, was Aaron. On the high holy day, the high priest would undergo a ritualistic cleansing of body and mind and then enter the Holy of Holies to offer up the sin offering for the entire Hebrew nation. It was believed that the high priest risked death even as he entered if even his mind was not in proper spiritual accord with God's will and wishes. The text of Exodus 28 instructs the placement of small bells on the hem of the high priest's robe. The audible sound of the bells on his robe's hem was a sign to the people outside that the high priest was dutifully and properly performing the rituals for the offering as prescribed by God. If, however, the bells were silenced, it would be a sign to those outside that the high priest had died, either by natural causes or because God found the priest's consciousness or conduct to be unholy and thus struck him dead. Boy, it really wants to make you apply for the job, doesn't it? In either case, just in case the high priest were to die while in the Holy of Holies, a rope was actually tied around his waist before he entered so that his body could be dragged out of the Holy of Holies without risking the life of another person who would have to enter to retrieve the deceased. Now, in truth, there is nothing in Scripture that ever indicates that the high priest ever died in the Holy of Holies, so we'll put that to rest. But look at the kind of ritualistic process they had to go through. To us, the whole process may seem preposterous, but 4,000 years ago, much of life was very strict, ritualistic, and fearful. And what we must realize most of all is that for the Hebrew people, the ringing bells on Aaron's robe while he performed the sin sacrifice on their behalf was truly a comforting sound because they knew everything was what? okay. And concerning the Holy of Holies, we remember that as our Lord Jesus died on the cross, Matthew chapter 27, verse 51 tells us that the curtain that separated the Holy of Holies from the other portions of the temple in Jerusalem was rent in two from top to bottom. No longer then was there a separation between God and God's people. Christ is the final high priest, offered up the final and complete sacrifice for the forgiveness of humanity's sin and erased the blemish of our sin, allowing us access to the holiness of God. Yet ever since the 400s AD, church bells have grown in popularity and also in size. In worship, they first began as handbells and marked certain occasions. They were rang during worship to mark specific points in worship or to indicate the presence of God. Later, as bells could be successfully cast in larger sizes, they became the signal bearers in community towers to sound the alarm during times of danger or potential invasion. And then they began to be installed in towers adjacent to church sanctuaries as a means to mark daily times for devotional prayer and to also celebrate weddings and to toll the years of a person's life at funerals and certainly every worship day to call people to worship during a time when people did not have watches and couldn't tell what time it was. Over the centuries, church bells became just as commonplace and expected and revered objects of worship as were hymns of praise, reading of God's word, and even listening to sermons. Here in the United States, the oldest church bells are the ones still found in the Old North Church in Boston, Massachusetts. These eight bells were cast in England in 1744 and brought to the colonies and hung in the church in 1745. Although they were intended to ring for the glory of God in the British Empire, these very bells were also rung for the cause of colonial liberty as they rang out a warning to the colonists during Paul Revere's midnight ride in 1775 that the British troops were advancing their way. And an interesting side note is that Paul Revere himself went on to start his own bell foundry in 1792, where his company cast over 400 bells before his death in 1818. Sadly, however, as the world and even our country have become more secular, the regular ringing of church bells on Sunday mornings is now considered by many to be a nuisance, even as the general public tolerates the roar of under-muffled motorcycles and monster trucks. Lawsuits have even been filed across the United States and Europe in attempts to silence church bells. Yet we as people of faith must remember and uphold the simple truth that even though there is little biblical precedence for the use of bells in worship, their purpose has always been to call the faithful to worship and to be a proclamation to the secular world that God is indeed present among them. As we remember from Exodus 28, the ringing of the bells on Aaron's high priest's garment were a sign to the worshipers that Aaron was in the Holy of Holies, busy about the task of offering up the sin offering for the welfare and benefit of all God's people. And the bells were an outward sign that Aaron's presence as well as his offering were being accepted by God. In villages, towns, and cities, not only have church bells often been used to alert people of danger or to call them to readiness, they're ringing forth at regular intervals of daily prayer on Sunday mornings for worship and on special occasions has always been an audible proclamation of the living God among us. Thus, Psalm 150 declares, "Praise the Lord. Praise God in his temple. Praise him, his supreme greatness. Praise him with cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Praise the Lord, all living creatures. Praise the Lord." So that's kind of a lighthearted approach to Sunday morning scripture. And I hope you learn something about bells. Just make sure you don't make them too big. Do you know Christ? If he's not your Lord and Savior, I welcome you to come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed. Or maybe today is your day to come forward and become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. I extend the invitation as we turn to hymn number 192, "All Glory, Laud, and Honor." We'll sing all stanzas, please. 192.
As we pray, since you delight in goodness, rule in our hearts today.
We thank you for being in the Lord's house this morning and wish you the very best as you journey forward in the new week. May we bow our heads to close in prayer. Lord God, as we depart, your Spirit is with us in many wondrous ways, and may we all understand it truly is our privilege to proclaim your presence among us in whatever ways we can, whether it be in word and deed, or even the ringing of bells. Guide us this day and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen.
With your blessing, fill our hearts with joy and peace. Let us each your love possessing, triumph in redeeming grace. Oh, refresh us, oh, refresh us, traveling through this wilderness. Thanks we give an adoration for your gospel's joyful sound. May the fruits of your salvation in our hearts and lives abound. Ever faithful, ever faithful to the truth may we be found.
Is going to serve for me next Sunday.
Okay.
Because she is the following. She couldn't be here all that time, so I told her I'd serve for her.
Okay.
I'll be one for her.
All right. Sounds
so
good.
So there you go.
Okay.
We are not.
Doris McGee?
Yeah, she was doing the community day.
She served.
Oh, I
was doing. Yeah. Right. Yeah, I don't know if she, if she's not downstairs.
What happens after school today? I didn't make
her. Oh, okay.
Yeah, next week, so she was just down the church in the hall.
Okay, yeah, she's probably already looked at.